Hey, what's up? This is Josh from JusticeGeeks.com, and this is a Just Us Geeks interview. Okay, so you were on before. We talked about comics for kids then. That wasn't that long ago, actually. It was just about a month ago, I think. Just kind of to revamp, tell me about comics for kids again, how you got started, all that fun stuff.
Well, we were a nonprofit organization based out of Duluth, Mississippi. We were founded in 2011. Our goal was to give comics to as many kids as we possibly can. And we, like I said, we were founded in 2011.
Okay.
So far, up until this point, we've given away over 6,000 comics.
Wow. That's a whole lot of comics. Tell me about the information, Tell me about the photo on your Twitter for Comics for Kids that caused such a riot, seemingly out of nowhere.
Okay. Well, basically what the deal was, I have a little cousin, and he's from the area. I'm not going to give his name. I think he's had enough exposure. But anyway, he graduated from school. He goes to a school up in Memphis. And I hardly ever get to see him. And he was named most artistic student out of the 200 students that were in his school. They separate, I think, kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. And altogether, I think there was 200 students in his grade. And he ended up getting most artistic, which I was very proud of him. So I posted a photo of him on my Twitter account. Basically, he's a very cute kid. People really liked the photo and was sending me messages, hey, how can I get comics to this child? So I thought, you know, he loves comic books. So, you know, I'll do, I've been doing this thing where you put two photos up there and you retweet one and favorite one. And it's like a little contest. So I thought, you know, I'll post this photo and I'll say, you know, for every retweet this photo gets, you'll get one comic book. Well, 2 hours later, it was at 400 retweets, which the most I'd ever gotten before then was at like 40. So I don't know what happened, but the photo just went through the roof and people started, you know, tweeting. Well, people started sending me messages asking me, how are you going to provide this kid with that many books? I'm like, I can't. I don't even have that many books on, you know, I don't even have that many books to give away right now. We'll make do. He's my cousin. And when I said that, people, this one guy, I don't even remember his name. I think he's been given enough attention out of this. And that is really what he was after. Saw that I had the same last name as the name that was on my cousin's certificate. And the writing on that certificate was ultra tiny. So we're talking about someone who was looking for this kind of problem to begin with. I did not deny it. I said, yes, he's my cousin. Well, a guy that runs another podcast went to the Mississippi State Department website, I don't know the actual .com of that, and looked and saw where it was a crime to solicit donations for a family member, which I wasn't soliciting a donation for a family member. I said I was going to give him a comic for every retweet that it got. And it just kind of escalated from that point. A small group of people, I'd say about six altogether, just started slamming me personally and Comics for Kids. I was asked by several people, you know, what of this? And I said, it's no big deal. Don't make anything of it. It's just a kid that I wanted to give comics to who happened to be my little cousin. And everybody was sending me a message, hey, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. Well, the next morning I woke up and the article was on Bleeding Cool. I don't know if you saw the article, but it was on the Bleeding Cool website. I was not asked to comment on it. It took things out of context, took tweets out of reference and posted tweets from a long time ago. I don't know how they got all the information, but just bear in mind, anything you put on the internet is there to stay. Some really good advice that I can give anyone. I was not asked to make any type of comment on it whatsoever, and the article was completely framed up to make the people that has the podcast out to be like they did something great because they brought up the fact that I was going to give comics to my little cousin. But Well, the next morning, I was very upset about this. I tried to contact Glee and Cool, trying to get them to give them my side of the story. I've yet to receive any callback or anything from them. Well, I was contacted by, you contacted me, several other people that I've been on their podcast and fans. I have nothing to hide. I have my home phone number and my home address listed on all of my information. So it's not like I'm trying to hide my location or where I'm at or who that I am. And people were very worried because, I mean, people were making some very serious allegations. One guy out of Florida said that he mailed me 41 long boxes of vomit and would like to know if I kept them all for myself. I mean, I live in a very small home. I don't even have the space for 40 long boxes of vomit. I mean, it would take, I don't know, well, I'm pretty sure your listeners know how big a long box is, but it would take a whole truck to move that many comics. I was accused of keeping all the comic books for myself, keeping funds, giving funds to family members. I was accused of basically anything that you can accuse somebody of, which is very, very serious accusations. I mean, stealing from a nonprofit is a federal crime. So I just did not know what to do. I was at the panic level. I had four or five individuals contact me, telling me, like, listen, why don't you go after this guy's podcast? Maybe it'll teach him a lesson because you've not retaliated him. So I just told my listeners, hey, listen, this is the guy that's causing me all the problems. This is his podcast. And I think that's exact verbatim what I put in the text. Well, all of my followers, and by the way, I have over 20,000, started going to the podcast iTunes site and giving them negative reviews. Well, then a couple of hours, they had several dozen negative reviews. Well, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but a very famous comic book writer named Mark Wade happens to be a friend of the person that runs that podcast. So then he come after me on Twitter. Then he realized how many followers I have, and he started kind of backtracking on the things that he said and just said that I just need to drop the subject and move on, which is what I did. I apologized to the other podcast today, Saturday. I would apologize Friday night, and that was the end of it. This morning, there were two other news stories that neither one of them contacted me to get any type of quote. They did not contact me in any form or fashion, and basically said that I had been stealing comics from people who had been donating them for years. So that's when I decided to completely shut down Comics for Kids. A couple hours went by, and I got several dozen phone calls, and it'd be safe to say I got 1,000 retweets and several hundred emails asking me, you know, what's going on, people that did not know the situation and wanted me to get everything up and going back again. So that's when I decided, I did seek counsel through the whole thing, and I was told my best thing would be to do away with the nonprofit and to reform as a sole proprietorship, where that way I can give the comics to anybody that I want to give the comics to. Everyone that knows that we're not a nonprofit and that we can do whatever we want to with the comics when we get them. And that's the decision that I've reached. I'm either going to do it that way or I'm not going to do it at all. When you're a nonprofit organization, you have tons of rules, laws, obligations that you have to complete. And when you have people contact the IRS and call Jackson about you, it's not a good phone call to get from people like that wanting to know exactly what's going on. Because I have not done one thing wrong, but the allegations of me doing something wrong will have to cause me to be able to get people to represent me, which does cost money, which I do not have the money to provide. So it's just been a big ordeal. So that's why I'm forming Comics for Kids as an actual business. We're going to go after the business model of people like The Last It's Reading Rainbow, stuff like that. People can give books, and we will donate the books and give them to children.
So let's see. So you're no longer a nonprofit. Did you, that's totally done with.
Right. We had a couple hundred comic books left, and those comic books I give them to a friend of mine who put them to, well, I was going to take them today to the Corinth, to the William Corinth, but he's going to drop them off at the one in Tupelo, the donation place in Tupelo.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about the nonprofit.
Okay.
You know, that's a side of this that you don't really see. You know, is the future of this? You've now outlined yourself as a business. I mean, isn't this idea essentially a nonprofit idea? I mean, do you worry about any backlash that you're going to get from being a nonprofit who's now a business with essentially the same business model?
Well, I honestly haven't thought about that. I've had several people that contact me with that same question, and from the research that I've done and I've had other people do for me, I've got all my paperwork in line for every single donation that I've received, dating back all the way back to 2010, even before I filed with the state of Mississippi to become a nonprofit organization. So I have all that covered. I'm just, what upset me is someone took a law that very, very few people would even know that exists and tried to manipulate that law not manipulate the law, but just bring that law public that I was trying to get some donations for my cousin that could cause me a lot of problems. Does that make any sense? I didn't say that. Basically, when you're a nonprofit organization, you have all these rules and regulations that you have to go by. As a business, all you have to do is pay taxes on the profits. That's probably the best way to do it.
So you're saying you didn't make any profit off of comics for kids?
Absolutely not. When we were founded, the exact date, we became a nonprofit March 14th of 2011. That's when we become a nonprofit. Just the paperwork for that. The filing fee with the state was $50, and LegalZoom charged me $400 to fill out the paperwork for that. Since we've been in operation, we have taken in over $1,000 since, 2011. So we're talking less than $300 or $400 a year worth of donations.
Okay, so
actual money wise,
right? Actually, like hard money in your hand.
That's hard money, and $120 of that come from another podcast when our computer went down.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like we have taken in any money at all.
Right. You mentioned to me yesterday, and we spoke on the phone about comic donations. You said on Twitter that you've donated like 6,400 comics to kids. You mentioned that you had purchased a lot of them yourself because of donations. How did you go about doing that?
There was a comic book store in Florence, Alabama. I know you're familiar with where that was. Where that is, it's called House of Heroes. I was a good friend of the owner of that, and when he closed House of Heroes down, he sold me probably 15 long boxes for $20 a box. And of course, I did have my original personal collection that I had for many, many years. I really don't know how many comics that is, but the vehicle I drive is a Chevy Suburban,
yeah,
which is about the biggest vehicle you could get. The entire back end, I took the third row seat out and laid the other seats down. And just the comics I got that I purchased from him filled up the entire back end of that truck.
Right.
I give the comics away, at a place in Corinth, Mississippi, that has hundreds and hundreds of trick-or-treaters each year.
Okay, so tell me about this. Tell me about that event.
Okay, we have it every Halloween, no matter if Halloween's on a weekend or whatever. It's actually October 31st. The people that I do the event with has been giving candy and stuff away for, I think, 40 years. Most trick-or-treaters they've ever had was, I think it was 1,600 at one particular night. So it's just a steady flow of kids in and out of there. what we do is we just set up long boxes back to back. I don't turn any kids away. They walk up and they get whatever they want. We don't have a limit. One kid wants to take 50 books, they take 50 books. We just let them take whatever they want.
Okay. That seems like, well, I mean, it's, that's definitely a good thing, especially for our area where literacy is not, you know, essentially something that somebody would consider to be a connection to comics.
Well, the first year we did it, we had a limit, you know, you could get two, but then you have a lot of kids, you know, that's just going to take two comics that are never going to read it. And then you have one kid that's going to read every comic that you give him. So I would rather the kids that are really into it. You know, the kids that love comics are going to take the most comics, and the kids that don't like them are going to take the fewest amount. I guess it's just like how a library is set up. You know, kids that want to read are going to go check out the most books. So that's why I let them do that.
I know that. Would you have to have a receipt for that? Like, would you have to provide a way to show that those comics were given to those kids? I mean, I would think so, but I guess in an event like that, probably not, right?
Absolutely not. And like I said, there's no, if I was to do something like that, I would actually have to hire somebody to keep up with all that.
Right.
There's, I mean, when you're dealing, on Halloween night, you're going to give away several thousand comics in a period of, you know, between 4 and 8. So, I mean, you're talking about, you know, giving away, that's a ton of people coming in and out.
Is that an event you think you'll still do?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Absolutely. I've received more. I've had more people contact me in the last 48 hours than I've had contact me this entire year about wanting to help and wanting to send donations. We're going to stop soliciting money donations. We're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to take donations of comics.
Okay.
That way, nobody can say, you know, that we're doing this or we're doing that, or, you know, nobody can say we're stealing any funds of any type. So we're just going to take donations of comic books, and if people want to donate gift certificates, they can do that as well.
Okay. So yesterday you mentioned that you're unleashing a new website on us in like July. Tell us about that.
That new website, it's not going to have anything to do with comics for kids. It's going to be a new venture that I'm going to have going up with a friend of mine. We're not even going to reveal the name of it yet. I probably shouldn't even told you about that. He's probably going to get mad at me. But basically, it's just going to be a place where you can go to on your cellular device or iPad or whatever, and you'll be able to get all the current comic news. It's going to pull from sites, mostly major news outlets, ABC, CBS, Fox. Anytime a story emerges with, you know, X-Men, Avengers, Thor, or anything like that, it's going to put all that information in one place that you'd be able to get it on your phone. It's going to have a chat room and a couple other little functions.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. So July, you're looking around that time.
We're thinking July. We've got of course, you know, I was supposed to be working on it all weekend. I didn't expect, you know, this to happen. So far, we've had around 40 articles already submitted from writers that want to submit articles. We're giving people pretty much free reign to talk about anything that they want to talk about. If you want to talk about how much you like a movie, how much you dislike a movie, you're going to be able to put an article on. You send the article to us, we put the article on the website, and then people are going to go in there and be able to make comments. And we're going to have it where you can link it up to your social media. So if you want to link your post up to Twitter so people can get followers through that, they'll be able to do that.
So you're done with the nonprofit work. This is strictly a business now. You know, this is, I mean, I'm sure that wasn't an easy decision for you to make.
It was not. I know off the record we talked yesterday, or I think it was yesterday, my days and nights kind of run together. I was completely done with it. And it's the fans that have turned me around. I've just been overwhelmed with phone calls and emails of people, you know, telling me, you know, these are just people that are internet trolls that just line up just waiting for something like this to happen. You know, don't think about the children. That's who that I need to focus on, is the children in North Mississippi, North Alabama, and Tennessee. That, you know, you're from this area. You know how poor the children are around here. Children, most children in schools here don't have internet access. They don't have cell phones. They don't have video games. They don't have ways to get to libraries. Sometimes the only literature they are ever able to receive are the reading books that they're given in, you know, the first grade through sixth grade. So they don't have opportunities to be able to learn to read and to have people encourage them to read. So this is a good way. I've been approached several times over the last couple of years of people that have wanted to invest in my brand and to get out, to be able to reach more kids. I've got one guy who's wanting to put spinner racks back in gas stations and grocery stores and, you know, like convenience stores, stuff like that. There's so many comics that float around that people, almost everybody's got a little box of comics that they don't like. Well, his idea was to take three comic books, put one on the front, one on the back, and one in the middle, put them together, and put a little thing on the top of comics for kids, and sell them for $1.99. And for every one of those purchases, would give us funds to be able to give comics to other kids. Kind of like the model, you know, Scholastic has a thing where they take the little trucks and stuff around to the schools, where they have the book fairs where if you buy so many books, they donate so many books to the school. You know, it's stuff like that. And it's just in the past, I wanted to keep everything in-house and do it that way. But I think it's time to branch out to other things so I can help more kids, you know, love to read.
I know there are several other nonprofit businesses in our area that they're not businesses, they're nonprofits that their goal is to, you know, help the community in just about any way they can. A lot of these are religious based, you know, not necessarily affiliated with a church, but affiliated with a religious purpose. Do you ever do any work with any of the local other organizations that have kids in mind?
I have not. The only other place that I've donated books to is Tishomingo County, which is where I'm from, has a toy drive every year. And I've donated, I get a lot of children's books donated as well. And I donate a lot of stuff to the toy drive each year, children's books and, of course, comics. And that's really the only other place that I get. Donations are really, really hard to come by, and like I said, we didn't have that big a turnout at the last Halloween thing that we had because the weather was so bad last year, but the year before that, we gave away several thousand comics, and weather permitting this year, we're still going to do that this year, so we have to rebuild.
Right. I think it rained on Halloween this year.
Oh, horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
Yeah, we actually lived over in that area at the time and had gone by, but I guess it was either too late or the weather had kind of knocked it out because you guys weren't doing that then.
I'd like to point out that I'm sure if you post this online, I'm gonna have a ton of my followers come on and listen to what I have to say about this. But, he and I are from the same area. He's probably about 30 minutes from me.
Right. Got a couple tough questions for you that
sure,
I think you can answer. And we'll just kind of go through them. Number one, why should people trust you?
Well, trust is something that you just shouldn't give anybody. If you don't trust me, you should not give me conflicts. That's the main thing. Trust has to be earned, and people that don't trust me, all I can do is try to win their trust back. I don't really know how else to do that. Everybody has, you know, goals, and my main goal in life is to help kids love to read. There's few things in life that have brought me as much joy as comic books have. I've had people come in my life, they come in, they go. I've had relationships fail, I've had jobs fall through, but one thing is for sure, I've always had comic books. And if I'm able to help one kid love comic books as much as I have, I think I've accomplished my mission.
You're starting this new venture, you're going to continue to move it forward, which, you know, a lot of folks online have called for you not to do. A lot of your followers have called for you to do. What do you have to say to the people who have criticized you on Twitter? What do you say to the people who have criticized your business model, your nonprofit status, donating to a family member? You know, what do you want to say to them?
That's a good question. First thing I would like to say is I would like to apologize to anyone that I offended. When you love something as much as I love what I do, you take it personal when people attack you. It was just plain ignorant. I did not know that I could not give a family member a comic book. That's just the best way to explain it. I was not educated in what I was doing at that time. I did not know that that was even wrong. That being said, that's one of the reasons that I decided to change that mindset, the way that we do business, so that I can't ever make a mistake again. I'm not an attorney. I'm not an expert in nonprofits. How I found out about nonprofits, I went to Books A Million and I ordered a book called Nonprofit for Dummies. They didn't even have the book in stock. I had to actually order it and go back to clients and pick it up. So I am not an expert on this. I don't really have that much of a formal education. All the education that I've had from running a nonprofit is from actually doing it. I read the book on it, and I must have skipped over the part where it says I couldn't give a family member a book. To the people that I offended, I'm very sorry. About the whole asking my followers to contact, to leave a bad iTunes review, I'm very ashamed for that. I did not know how to make them leave me alone. That's the best way to explain it. I didn't, and I thought if I attacked them, maybe they would get the message and leave me alone. I was brought up, if someone punches you in the mouth, you punch them right back. And that I should have just took it on the chin and moved on. That was a mistake, and I feel bad for doing that, and I would like to formally apologize to Comic Therapy. That's the name of the podcast. I would like to let them know that I'm very sorry for my actions, and if I could go back and change it, I would. What was your other part?
Well, you know, Mark Wade said to you on Twitter, "You represent a nonprofit that hinges on goodwill. A smart one combats misinformation with truth, not counterattacks." And I think he has a very good point. And you've owned up to, you know, to some of these things. Are you worried?
I've owned up to all of those things.
Yeah,
I never denied one time that the little boy was my cousin. Not one time. Right. I even said it on Twitter that he was my cousin. And as far as what Mark Wade said, I had owned up to everything 24 hours before that.
Right.
And they would not stop. They just kept on and kept on. And I took some bad advice. That's the main thing. You know, it was my decision to ask my followers to do it. Some of them had already went and done it before I mentioned it, because they were the ones that gave me the idea to do it. But, you know, I accept responsibility for that. I'm the one that, you know, it was my fault that happened. Because when somebody says something bad about you, the first thing most people do is, you know, they, you know, well, that's not true. And if they keep on, well, then you attack them. And that's exactly what I did. And I was wrong for that.
Right. Besides, obviously, your new business model, what are you going to do now to take Comics for Kids into the next level? You know, from nonprofit status to this is a business, what are some things you're going to do to make that transition?
Honestly, I've got a lot of avenues open for me there. I've been contacted by a lot of people who actually want to go into business with me. And I'm kind of weighing my options right there. I don't really know if I want to do it as a sole proprietorship because I don't really have a lot of the means to take it to the next level, and some of the people contacting me do. I've got a very, very dedicated fan base. If I have learned any lesson from this other than shut up and wait 24 hours before you say anything, is I have some very, very loyal fans. And I can't thank everybody that stood by me through this enough. I appreciate everything that they've said. Right now, I'm weighing my options on that.
Okay. You know, we were glad to have you on the show before. Thank you again for coming back to talk with us. Going to look forward to keeping up with you and how you know you take this to the next level, and you know how you know you keep helping kids, because that's the end goal. You know,
I would this year, which I mean, days go by really fast. We're only a couple June, July, August, September, October. We're only a couple months away. I would love to invite y'all out to our live event that we're going to have there on Halloween.
Yeah.
If y'all would like to come out and document it, maybe even want to do a podcast there. There's going to be, I promise you, they will be several hundred little kids dressed up in superhero costumes.
That's awesome.
Even in the rain last year, there was probably 20, 30 Iron Men showed up. So when you're talking about geek culture, they're the next generation of geeks that's going to be there, and they'll be there in droves.
Right. Michael Whitehead, thanks for your time, man. We look forward to keeping up with you.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. I want to thank you for reaching out to me and giving me an opportunity to, you know, to get my side of the story out there. I appreciate what you do, and keep me in mind.
This has been a Just Us Geeks interview.